Most of you know we as a church support many missionaries, not many, but the ones we support substantially. We have chosen, rather than have 25 missionaries at $25 a month, we have a few that we support several hundred dollars every single month. 15% of everything that's given in this church goes back out to missions, even what comes in above and beyond our budget. We calculated that out and we sent it back out to missions. One of our main missionaries that we support is it's been a couple of years now at least, but they're a young couple. A lot of the missionaries have been on the fields for years and years and years. This is Ryan and Annabelle Kohler, and I had an opportunity to do their wedding at Thousand Pines a few years ago. Now they've got two kids. So one thing nice about staying in one place for a long time is you get to see a girl grow up in the church, go to camp and get married and have their own children. And so it's exciting to see you guys coming full circle. And they're just about ready to launch their ministry. And they're going to tell you more about it. But they're with MAF, Missionary Aviation Fellowship. You'll learn a little bit about that as Ryan comes up. Are you going to be sharing too, Annabelle? You're the shy one, aren't you? You're not shy.
I'm the shy one.
You're the shy one, but you get nominated to do the talking. Come on up, Ryan. Ryan's not only going to share an update about his ministry, he's going to give us a Bible encouragement today. So there's an outline in the bulletin that you can follow along where he's going. All right? God bless you, Ryan.
Great. Thanks, Pastor Mike. You guys hear me okay?
All right. Yeah, so good morning. My name is Ryan Kohler. Yeah, so it's a privilege to be here this morning. Oh, there we go. So as Pastor Mike said, we are from this area, my wife and I. We're here with our two kids, Elias and Hezekiah. Elias is 2.5, and Hezekiah is 11 months. Right? Okay. Yeah. So it's great to be back. We've been out of the area for about a year and 9 months, and it's wonderful to be back in our home area and see all you guys again. Yeah, so I'm just going to give a brief update of what we've been up to the last couple of years, and then we're going to do a message on the gospel. So I'm really looking forward to sharing about that. So we are missionaries with Mission Aviation Fellowship. Yeah, MAF stands for that. It doesn't stand for Missionary Air Force, like some people think. It's Mission Aviation Fellowship. And I'm a pilot and aircraft mechanic, and we're preparing to serve in the country of Mozambique in Africa. So I was going to share a little bit about ourselves, but Pastor Mike did a good job of talking about how we got married here and grew up going to Thousand Pines and stuff like that, so I'll skip over that. But what I do want to do is just acknowledge that this church has been instrumental in helping us prepare for the field. This church came behind us with so much encouragement and support and facilitating fundraisers and stuff like that. And we just feel very loved and welcomed by this church. And I just want to thank all of you for that. So, as some of you may remember, the last time I was here, I gave a sermon, I spoke. And if you remember, we were about to leave for Portugal for language school. So, Portugal, in Mozambique, they speak Portuguese. And MAF sends all of their missionaries to a language school for 1 year to learn the language before getting ejected into the culture, or injected, or whatever. So this isn't really working. There we go. So we went to Portugal. We did go to Portugal early 2020. We spent 9 months there. We studied in the University of Coimbra, or Universidade de Coimbra, and taking Portuguese courses. So there's our faculty that we studied in, that used to be the capital city of Portugal until they moved to Lisbon. So our language school experience was interesting because something else happened in early 2020. If you remember, COVID happened. So we were in class for 1 week, and then COVID hit. and we went to online classes. And if you haven't tried learning a language through Zoom, it's not easy. So we didn't get the top-notch education we were hoping for, but I think we still learned enough of the basics of the language that we'll be able to survive in Mozambique. And we feel that we know a lot of the rules and the grammar and the vocabulary. We just need some more practice. So we're sure we're going to get that practice in Mozambique when we get there. So we enjoyed our stay in Portugal. We visited a lot of castles, and yeah, it's a very unique country with lots of history and culture, lots of great food. The bacalhau is wonderful, except when I make it, it's way too salty. Bacalhau is salt cod, so you have to dehydrate it for a couple days in water, and if you don't do it long enough, it tastes like it's pure salt. And I did that. So, yeah, so it was a great time. So in late October of 2020, we left Portugal to have baby Hezekiah in the States. So our original plan was to have Hezekiah in Portugal, but COVID kind of got in the way of that. We'd rather come back to the States and have the baby in a hospital where everyone speaks English and I could actually be there and not have to let Annabelle do birth by herself because of COVID. So after a lot of prayer and counsel, we decided to come back to the States. And we did have Hezekiah in Idaho. He was born in Boise, Idaho, so he's a Boise boy. Yeah. So once he was born, our plan was to get his passport and head to Mozambique as soon as possible after that. So we got his passport in, January. We got it February. We got his passport in February, and we've been trying to apply for our Mozambique visa since then. And, you know, our plan was so simple, we're just going to go straight to Mozambique after Hezzy was born, but nope, nothing's that simple with COVID. And we believe COVID's the reason for the slow processing time, but it could also be political. If some of you have been watching the news, international news, there's been a conflict in Mozambique since 2017, and that made news back in April and March of this year, and that was right during the time we were beginning to apply. So that it could have been because of the war or because of COVID. We're just not really sure what the big holdup is. So during this time, everyone is having a hard time getting to Mozambique. They weren't letting any foreigners in, as far as we could tell. But we finally received our work permit for Mozambique on October 22nd, less than a month ago, which allows us to apply for the actual work visa. So we finally applied for the work visa less than a week ago, last Monday. Yeah, so that's big news for us. After 9 months of basically silence, we got our work permit and we applied for our visa. So now we're just waiting for the embassy to get back to us saying, yep, we approve you. So we're really excited. We're really hoping to be able to leave by the end of the year. Now, this time of waiting wasn't easy for us. We had almost no news. And the big question for us was, is God closing the door for us to serve in Mozambique? You know, we'd been waiting in Idaho at MAF headquarters we're basically just in the holding pattern with no news for months and months and months on end. So we were beginning to wonder. And it was a difficult season. We had our ups and downs spiritually. But we know that the Lord has his purpose in this. And the Lord always has a plan. We believe that there's no wasted time with the Lord. And after a lot of seeking and counsel and just prayer back in September, we felt that the Lord was still confirming that he wanted us to go to Mozambique. So we are staying the course and not giving up. And the Lord used this time to teach us this will or his will and to test our motives and our faith and to wait on him and seek him. And that's what we've learned during this time. This time has been a time to build up our perseverance and our tenacity and our commitment to what he's called us to do. And that was our big takeaway. And I'm sure there's other reasons that the Lord's having us wait this long, but, well, the Lord knows. Yeah, in our fast-paced culture, you know, sometimes it's not easy for us to wait. And sometimes we think if things don't happen quickly, that somehow it's not God's will. Or if it's not according to our timeline, then we have to throw out the idea. But what I've learned is, you know, if we truly love the people of Mozambique, and we truly believe that this is God's calling on our lives, then, in my opinion, that's worth the wait. So since we've returned from Portugal, we've been living in Nampa, Idaho, at MAF headquarters, and we've been involved in a wonderful church up there, a church that loves the Lord. And during this time of waiting, I've been working in the MAF hangar as an aircraft mechanic. So a little bit of what I've been doing: when MAF acquires new airplanes for field service, they need to be modified and able to operate in the roughest environments in the world, short airstrips and corrosive environments and stuff like that. So we have to do a lot of modifications to get these airplanes ready. So sometimes we do up to 70 modifications per airplane to get it ready for the field. And so that was my job up there, is to help do this, do these modifications. Next slide, please. There we go. Yeah, and it's been a great time. I've learned a lot. I've grown as a mechanic and as a follower of Jesus Christ, being around great mechanics and great followers of Jesus Christ every day. So it's been a great blessing. And meanwhile, Annabelle has spent her time pouring into the kids and studying on how to be a godly, or to parent in a godly way. And she's also been attending courses at our church about biblical counseling and theology. So it's been a really enriching time, even though we were kind of in the holding pattern. And that's basically a quick summary of our year. And we praise God for his goodness. So continue to pray for us that our Mozambique visas come in a timely manner. We're really praying to be able to leave the States by the end of the year. And yes, like I said, we just applied on November 8th for our visas. And as soon as they arrive, we can get on an airplane and go. Okay, so now we're going to shift gears slightly. That was a general update. Now I'm going to share about my trip to Mozambique this last June. So back in June, I had the opportunity to travel to Mozambique to help with disaster relief related to this conflict that I mentioned earlier. So a little bit of background on this conflict. Insurgents under the banner of the Islamic State have been trying to take control of the province of Cabo Delgado in northern Mozambique, and they've been doing guerrilla warfare against the government since 2017. And now, sometimes when we hear the Islamic State or ISIS, sometimes we get triggered and jump to conclusions as Americans, but it's more complicated than just ISIS. And there's a saying in Africa that's, everything is more complicated in Africa. There's a lot of social and political problems involved here too. So although their official stance is allegiance to ISIS, their motive for violence is not necessarily devotion to Islam. Their motives are from a place of being marginalized by the ruling party of Mozambique. And it's from this place of extreme poverty and apparent abandonment by the government that the youth of this area are easily recruited by these radical groups that promise a better future through violence. And that's really heartbreaking that that's the situation there. And to me, it sounds like this is a place where the gospel needs to be preached. So in March of 2021, the insurgents launched their largest assault to date and overran the town of Palma, which displaced tens of thousands of people. You see up there it says about 40,000 people displaced. And trapped a lot of people in the city. A lot of foreigners were trapped there. And the police and security forces basically left without a fight and retreated to a nearby natural gas project site called Afungi. Now, Afungi has a large runway, and in March and April of this year, MAF has been able to fly in there and evacuate over 600 people from the war zone to safety, as well as flying in supplies for the displaced people who are sheltering near Afungi. So I traveled there in June to help with these flights, and by the time of my arrival, all of the refugee camps were already full, and we weren't allowed to take more refugees out of the area by the government. So we were only allowed to bring supplies and fly people who were sick or injured. We'd fly them to Pemba, which is a nearby city, and they could go to the hospital there. So my job was to be a second crew member on these flights and to expedite the loading and unloading of people and cargo. So what we would do is during the day, we would fly, or sorry, during the morning, we'd fly doctors into Afungi. They would go out to a nearby village, just right outside the controlled zone, and treat people. Then at the end of the day, the doctors would get back on to the airplane with us, and then all the empty seats would be filled with people who needed medical care. So during my 3 weeks there, we evacuated 33 sick and injured people. And although I wasn't pilot in command of these flights, I was just sitting in the right seat. I did most of the flying, just give the pilots a break. And I never thought I'd fly a 14-seat airplane with 22 people on board. But don't worry, it was legal, because as you might know, if they're under 2 years old, they can sit in somebody's lap. So we had almost every person with a baby in their lap get up the 22 souls on board. There's another picture of us unloading there. So since we were less than a mile from the uncontrolled hot zone, security was a concern. And MAF has trained security personnel who daily make evaluations to keep an eye on the situation. And they just give us a briefing and their recommendations before every flight. And you know, safety is something we take really seriously there. We don't want to go into a dangerous situation and get stuck on the ground in an area that's where there's only military personnel and insurgents. That's not good. And soon after we finished our flights, there was actually an attack on the village where the doctors were. And after that, we weren't allowed to go back in due to security concerns. So the door for that disaster relief came to an end. So we served there from March to June, flying people out of Afungi. And there's another picture there. You can see how close the runway is to the uncontrolled area. And when we approached Afungi, we'd come in high, we'd do a random circling approach or a tactical approach into the runway, trying to minimize our flight path over the controlled uncontrolled area. Yeah, so anyways, it was a privilege to share Christ's love by helping these people. And most of the people that we helped were Muslim women and children. But to me, it was a privilege to serve them and bring them to safety. And my prayer is that they would see Jesus Christ in that, and that they would see the gospel in that. So after the door to Afungi closed, we were able to fly three plane loads of supplies to a refugee camp in Ibu on an island. And there's a picture from that. And this was right after I had a stomach bug. So it was a little bit tough, but so I hadn't eaten much after three days of being sick, and it was time to go home. We were staying in a hotel, and this was my ticket home. So we did these flights, and but the Lord gave me strength. I was able to unload and load tons of medicine and supplies, so that was great. And then after that, I had enough. It was, yeah. The oil ran out right at the end. Okay, so another ministry that MAF is involved in is what's called the MOSMED program. So we partner with other organizations in flying doctors into the most remote parts, or to the most remote part of Mozambique, which is the Nyasa Game Reserve. There's a picture of it up there, way in the north. So once a month, we take a team of medical personnel, which consists of a doctor, a nurse, a dentist, and a community health educator. And we fly around to several villages, and we let the doctors practice and see all the people that need care. We load them up and go to the next village. And these places are very poor, and they're hours or days away from good medical care. And in this area, there's only about one doctor per 10,000 people. So doctors are scarce there. And it's great that we can provide the service with doctors who care. Because a lot of the government doctors, it's just their job, and they don't give that great of care sometimes. Yeah, so while the doctors were seeing people, we got to hang out with the kids for hours, and that was a lot of fun. I tried to teach them how to count in either Portuguese or English. They don't speak Portuguese or English very well. They don't speak English at all. And I don't speak Portuguese or English very well either. So it was a little bit hard to communicate. But we still had a great time. They love soccer. They love playing games. They love staring at you. They love pulling your badge thing and letting it go. And it was a great time. So I'm looking forward. So when we get back to Mozambique, one of the things I'm really looking forward to is being able to minister to these kids in some way, find a way to share the gospel with these kids, since we have a captive audience for, you know, several hours. And yeah, so that's basically an update of our year and my trip. So we have a table set up in the lobby there, and we'd love to see you guys after service. So please feel free to come back there and say hi. We have printed out some really cool books where we have a photo album of our Portugal trip and my Mozambique trip. So please come back and say hi to us. So now we're going to switch gears a little bit. And I have a question. So how long are we going till today? Is it 11:45 or 12? It's 12? Okay. Okay, so hopefully we can get through all this. It's taking a little bit longer than I anticipated. So our scripture verse of the day. So we're going to be, first, we're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the topic of the message, something that's really dear to me, and I'm sure it's dear to most Christians. And our scripture verse this morning is Romans 1:16. It says, can we all stand and we'll read this together? I think that's usually how we do it here. Okay, so it's just one verse, so we can all read it at the same time. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. All right, thanks. You guys can sit down. Okay, so let's pray real quick before I get started. Father, just thank you for this wonderful time to be here and for this wonderful church, and I just pray that you would speak through me in the short time that I have, and I pray that you would just help us to be open to what you have to say, and just bless this service. Amen. Okay, so this morning we're talking about the gospel. So what is the gospel? So as Christians, we pretty much know what the gospel is, right? We've heard it many times, but what it boils down to, there's a lot of different definitions, and it's hard to pin down because it's such a big topic. There's so many different aspects to it. But basically, it's God's redemption plan for mankind through Jesus Christ. It's a story of how he showed his love for us by sending his perfect and beloved Son to die in our place to take our punishment for our rebellion against him. And a story of how he died and rose again so that we may have eternal life through faith in him. And this is the story of grace, God's grace. And it's just a quick summary. So if you'd like to know the whole story of the gospel, a good way to do it is reading the Bible from beginning to end. The Bible is the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is woven, weaved through in perfect harmony through the whole scriptures. In every verse, every chapter, we can find a way to bring it back to Jesus, and that's what the Bible is all about. It's about the gospel. It's about who God is and what he has done for us and how he showed his goodness to mankind. So my intent today is not to focus on what is the gospel, but on what should we do about it as Christians. So if you're not familiar with what the gospel is, please talk to me or Pastor Mike or Pastor Jonathan or John Johnson or one of the elders after the service, and we'd be more than happy to share the good news of Christ with you. So why should we share the gospel? So let's explore that. Let's explore preaching the gospel. So when I say preach the gospel, I'm talking about verbally sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with another person, especially a non-believer. So my first question to you is, why should we share it? Why should we preach it? Why is it important? What's at stake? And I think some of the answers can be found in Romans 1:16. And so I'll read that again. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. So I think it's important to share the gospel and preach the gospel because it is the power of God to salvation. The knowledge of and the faith in the gospel is the means God chose to bring the knowledge of the salvation to the dark and unbelieving world. Jesus already paid the price once and for all, for all of us, for all mankind, and all we need to do is tell people about who he is and what he did. And the Holy Spirit will work on the heart of the people who hear the gospel, calling them to repentance and to belief. And this belief will cause a spiritual transformation in that person, or a spiritual 180 that will change the trajectory of that person's life, which will affect every aspect. It will change every aspect of that person's life for the better. And this happens as a process as he grows closer to Christ. And this is because the gospel is the power of God. And there's no other philosophy or ideology or wisdom that has any power to change the heart of a man. The Bible teaches the heart of man is evil from birth, with no remedy except for the transformation that comes through the Holy Spirit. And that transformation comes by hearing and believing the gospel. And the word of the Lord says in Romans 10:13b, "And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard?" So according to this verse, it's hard for people to know the truth or hear the truth unless Christians boldly proclaim it. There's seldom another way for people to come to this saving faith except that Christians share. And people aren't going to hear the gospel from a worldly source. They might hear all kinds of false gospels or partial gospels or watered-down gospels, but it's up to us as Christians to preach the full and true gospel. Now, I can assure you that it's no accident that the Lord puts you in your present situation. And it's no accident that the Lord put certain non-believers around you. Because the Bible says, "And he has made from every blood one nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us." So I believe God is orchestrating our lives so we can reach people that might not otherwise be reached. Perhaps God has placed all of us here in Southern California at this particular time in history to reach certain people who are seeking. And that's worth some prayer and some seeking on our part to see what specific plans the Lord has for us. Because people are searching for answers. You know, they're groping for what life is all about. And the Bible says, God has put eternity into man's heart. This means everyone knows that deep down in their soul, this life is not all there is. The human heart longs to have true purpose, true value, and to be truly loved. And if you believe that if you believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you have the answers to all of these wonderings. So let us be bold and share the gospel in our culture. Now, there's a lot to be said on how to share the gospel, so I'm not going to focus a lot on that, but it's a whole other subject on how best to approach people. But what I just want to say briefly is when we share the gospel, let's do it with gentleness, respect, and speaking the truth in love. And this is what the Lord says about how to best approach people. He knows the heart. He knows what opens people up to hearing the truth. But we want to be careful that we don't try to be so nice that we water down the truth. That's why it says speak the truth, and that implies the whole truth. Okay, so why should we care to share? Similar to the last one, and this wouldn't be a real sermon unless I had a rhyming sermon point. Why should we share to care? So why should we care if others are saved or not? Why can't we just let other people do it, not engage non-believers? Why can't we just go on living our normal life and being comfortable and just kind of letting other people do the job? Well, so first, if Jesus is our Lord, then we will care what he cares about and we'll love who he loves. Here in Philippians 2, 4, and 5, it says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is concerned about other people. And I believe that we should be too. And Jesus demonstrated this throughout his earthly ministry, which culminated in the ultimate act of selflessness, which is when he died on the cross for our sins. And it seems to me it's just such a small thing in comparison to just share our faith with others. And my prayer is that the Lord would give us courage to do that. Psalm 40, verse 9 and 10. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I did not restrain my lips, O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness, your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. So not only will it benefit other people, one more thing. And the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And we know that. And the point I'm trying to get across is if Jesus loves every person, let us love every person also. And let us love them enough to share the gospel, which will transform their life and their eternity. Yeah, so not only will other people benefit from our preaching the gospel, but Jesus also says, the Bible also teaches, that we will also be rewarded for our sharing the gospel. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but in Matthew 25, we have the parable of the talents that most of you are familiar with. Basically, the master gives each of his servants a certain amount of money. The master goes away, the people invest the money, and then when the master returns, he rewards each servant according to their profits multiplying that money. And what Jesus has entrusted us with is the gospel. We all know this gospel. We all have it in our hearts. We believe it. And I believe that if we multiply that, the Lord will reward that. and we'll be able to enjoy those rewards for eternity in heaven. Okay, so what is the cost of the gospel? I was going to share some examples from church history about what people gave up so that other people would hear the gospel. But we're just going to go over this section because we're a little bit short on time this morning. And I just want to get to our conclusion. If you study church history, there's a lot of people who believed in the gospel so much that they gave their lives for it. They lived the gospel inside and out, and they believed that that sharing the gospel was more important than their life. And that's a good example to us. But we're not going to get into that this morning here, unfortunately. Though that's probably the part everyone wants to hear. So how then shall we live? So if we as Christians, we know this gospel, how should we live according to the gospel? And Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So preaching the gospel is important, but what good is it if we preach the gospel and live in contradiction to it? So let us not live according to our sinful nature. Let us not live like the world does, but according to God's word. So let us speak the truth, but also, or not only let us speak the truth, but also let us live the truth. And the truth is that we have eternal life. We've been bought with a price. So let's live like we have eternal life. Let's throw off every sin and distraction and share the gospel with others. And I know none of us are perfect. This is a tall order, but the Holy Spirit will work in our lives to help us become more as Christ. But we have to take that step to desire that and seek the Lord and grow closer to Him so that we will live according to His word. So living the gospel, here's some examples. Living the gospel is trusting in God and not leaning on our own understanding. Living the gospel is obedience to the word of God. Living the gospel is raising children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord and not allowing the world to raise our children. Because what good is it if we preach to others, but we don't demonstrate the gospel at our own home, in our own families? And as we know, a lot of Christian children walk away from the church when they become adults. It's a staggering number. I think I heard 40% or more, something like that. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that, but I think part of the problem is that we talk about the gospel and Jesus at church, but not necessarily at home. We don't weave the gospel through our lives as much. When I say we, I mean the general church population, not necessarily everyone here, because I know there's a lot of people in this room who understand this. So we should not only work to present ourselves as good Christians at home or at church, but also at home and also before God. So living the gospel at home is a father telling his son, saying, son, I love your mother like Christ loves the church. I'm willing to do anything for her spiritual and physical well-being. And it's like a mother telling her daughter that I respect your daddy's authority and leadership, as the church respects Christ's leadership, who gave his life for the church. And living the gospel is forgiving, like forgiving a spouse or a parent or a child, even when they don't deserve it. And living the gospel is saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that's a tough one, because it's hard for me to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ, because I don't feel worthy of that. But that's discipleship. So let us live the gospel in our culture, in our homes. Let us work it through our lives, not just in word, but also in deed. So I think that's all the time we have for this morning. So I just want to close with this, that our nation and our country, or sorry, our nation and our state are in trouble, as some of you may know. And you're all aware of all the problems we have. But I want to challenge you. The problem isn't in politics, I believe. The problem isn't that we have, that we need better politicians, we need better laws, we need better whatever. I think the problem is that we don't, that we need the gospel. And I believe this country needs the gospel, because there's no ideology or human wisdom that will change a nation. If that were true, our nation would be changed by now. How long has our history been, and it's not really getting better? I believe only the gospel will truly change the nation. So my challenge to you is, let's preach the gospel in our culture. Let's share our testimony with people, friends we may know, coworkers, family members. Let us be bold and share. Let us have the courage to do that. Because America will pass away one day. Our political parties will pass away. And in heaven, nobody's going to remember the names of our parties or America. But what will not pass away are the people who heard the gospel and believed it, who put their faith in Jesus Christ. So let us focus on that. Let us focus on eternity rather than the temporal. All right, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, thank you for this church, Lord, and I just pray that that we'd be encouraged, Lord, to seek you with all of our hearts and to put off every distraction, every impure motive. Let's put aside all of our differences and be united as one body in Christ. I pray that we would speak the gospel without reservation, that we would see the value of the gospel and its power to change hearts and lives. And Lord, I pray that we would seek you and seek the Holy Spirit's guidance on how to best approach people and how to make a difference in our world. And I pray that you would bless everyone in this room and that you would bless this week. Amen.